for anybody. For the moment, Sunday's regular time. If I'm a minute or two late, you'll wait. And then we'll figure out exactly, you know, but hopefully we'll do Sunday, Monday. Tuesday, we'll be working through the Gemara's here on Daf Dalet, Amud Aleph. Okay, just to finish up what we were discussing previously before we get back to there. So we were discussing this very interesting question. Oh, before that, did I ever quote, where's Yoni? There he is. Did I ever mention that slach? Or no, I didn't, or did I not? I did not. So just my mistake. We were talking about, again, this one more point about Chagigas Yedaled and the Yom Tov triggered by Korban Pesach, you know, and the Isser Melacha. So just Yoni brought to my attention that the Tzlach in the beginning of Makom Shenoagu, in discussing this problem, also discusses Pesach Sheni. So that's a very interesting issue. Like, it doesn't appear that there's a din in Pesach Sheni of Isser Melacha for those who are participants. And that could be explained, of course, in various ways. But certainly if you thought that the issue revolved completely about around the reality of bringing a korban, you know, which is the way that some certainly understand it. And again, there's no yichus to korban Pesach, you know, fundamentally over that of tmidin or korban etzim, etc. Then you would think that the same principle should apply to Pesach Sheni. However, if you think that at least some of these details and the specific applications and the scope and extent and intensity of it has to do with this. Oh, I should just check. Is this working? Yeah. If it has to do with, be mindful of this also. If it has to do with the status of the day as a day in which you're supposed to bring the Korban Pesach, in other words, the Parshas, Hamoados and Emor. Then, of course, and the classic Korban Pesach, which takes place, you know, on Yudalat Tesvav and the interface of those two things, when we're, you know, commemorating the anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So then the question, you know, of how much of that gets transferred to Pesach Sheni is, of course, a huge issue. You know, and that, of course, goes to also the nature and character of Pesach Sheni, which I think we discussed right before, Pesach last year. But of course, there's so much more to talk about. I mean, to what extent Pesach Sheni is Tashlumin, and the Rambam's in-between Shita, the exchange between Avraham Ben Rambam and Rabbi Yehuda Bavli, and, you know, related issues, what about bringing Pesach Sheni Alel Hashleim, you know, outside of the Tmidim. And of course, what about the relationship on Pesach Sheni to Chametz and to Matzah Maror? I actually made a point last year, I think, that, if you look carefully in the Rambam, it seems like the Rambam's, link between Matzah Maror and Pesach in some respects is even stronger in Pesach Sheni than it is Pesach Rishon. I think for compensatory reasons. But again, the relationship to Chametz, the relationship to Chametz, to Matzah Maror, and all these other issues is a huge question. To what extent is Pesach Sheni, in other words, just a belated way of being the kind of mitzvah of Pesach Rishon, b'moado, or, since the korban itself is taking place at a later point, does that still have the... It certainly doesn't reflect anything about the day, because it's not an important day on the calendar per se. The question is it sufficient to generate? We were talking about, reflecting and generating. But it's not a perfect litmus test, of course, because, it's not the fullness of Pesach, Korban Pesach, either in many respects, because of it being a delay. So there's a lot to talk about. So the relationship to Yisr Hanav is something which, I'm sorry, to Yisr Malacha is something which, of course, is part of that discussion both in terms of Isa Melacha, as well as in terms of the nature of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is the Parsha, which is Bechadesh in the Torah, or which it's, you know, revealed in the Torah, that there is an Isur Karis for Pesach Rishon. That's an amazing, you know, truth that some of the Mefarshim just point out. I mean, Arachayim, you know, and much later the Abnezer points out, I think we did speak about this last year, that the pasuk that we quote in Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, you know, Korach, is actually the pasuk of Pesach Sheni, not the pasuk of Pesach Rishon. And there is a slight nuanced difference even in the psukim themselves, relating back to the point I mentioned before about the connection between Pesach Matzah and Maror, between those two psukim, etc. So again, this whole question, something we'll, you know, Yirat Hashem have more opportunity to speak about, but in terms of, you know, food for thought, understanding, you know, all the pieces, that's a very critical, you know, those are very critical things to think about. Again, you know, I think the reason that the Torah introduced Karis from Pesach Rishon in the context of Pesach Sheni, as opposed to putting it in the Parsha Bo, you know, Zos Chukas HaTorah, is because the Lama Nigara, the fact that Klal Yisrael, that group, you know, kind of lobbied, and successfully, you know, but the way that they lobbied, the sense of urgency that they, you know, revealed, their own deep and sensitive understanding, in other words, that this is something that they didn't want to miss out on, that it was an opportunity, you know, not just to do another mitzvah, but absent that opportunity, they would be diminished, which is what I think the real pshat of Lama Nikara really is. It's a very rare term in the Torah. You know, Safad use it for, you know, not getting land in Eretz Yisrael, and this parashah called Pesach. So I like to interpret it, Lama Nigara, why should we be diminished? But the awareness or the description or depiction of being diminished by, you know, not having the opportunity to fulfill this particular mitzvah is a very inspirational, you know, idea. So I think that the clamoring, you know, the lobbying, you know, for Korban Pesach or to be part of that is the perfect place for the Torah to reveal that this is an association of Karis. Because again, you know, it kind of affirms, you know, why, you know, what their sensibility was. That's my personal theory. But yeah, so on one hand, Pesach Sheni is not Pesach Rishon because it's not the anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's lacking the Sipur part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the other hand, by a month later, even the date is a curious thing. Right? What do you mean? What's this? What's a month later? Because a month in certain dinim, like Shloshim Yom, you know, it's the next category in some respects. And it's, you know, it's still within the orbit of, you know, and it's the same date of the month on. So that's all part of this dialectic of, you know, how much Bifniatzmo and how much Tashlumin. Of course it's Tashlumin in the sense that, you know, again, the Gemara has, you know, different views, but in the Halakha, in the Maskana, you know, what does it mean? You know, in terms of Gershinskaya or Kata and so on, but to the extent that it's, you know, being forlorn about having missed that first day, you know, it is a kiyum and still connecting to that first day, you know, it's Tashlumin. To the extent that you can't completely recreate, you know, what took place on that day, you know, it somewhat, you know, stands on its own. Like, can you have a Korban Pesach that is, you know, shorn from the anniversary, but whose goal is still to connect with the themes and somewhat the anniversary? So that's kind of the issue of consumption. Anyways, I don't want to get into all of it, but I think those are the kind of issues that are part of the fabric of the Pesach Sheni discussion. which I hope he'll get a chance to get back to. Anyways, speaking of Korban Pesach, one would think that we're learning, Tamid Mishkan, but we're not. So we will get back to Chametz Matzah in just a very short point. But we were discussing two questions. One is, why this Havuar Ma'ah was treated so severely. And this is the question that Michas Chinuch deals with. He deals with it more on a technical level. Namely, is it Asaras Azu Misasa? Is Asaras Azu Misasa only limited to Shemim Tzpri Noach? Why isn't this on the list of Shemim Tzpri Noach? And for that alone, he introduces certain important concepts, including, is the Yisr to be Machil? Is the Yisr to be Ochel? Would it carry a death penalty? And Agav, kind of dictates what's on Shemit Tzpnei Noach list and what not? Mefurish Bakra, Kol Makom Zman, something which overlaps with Kiyumim or Kiyumim of Kol Yisrael. What I was trying to suggest was that these criteria that he's discussing, although he's not at all suggesting, he's not actually entering this discussion, we're not discussing what's significant about the list. He's just trying to figure out what's on it and what's not on it. What I was suggesting was at least two of the three highlight what is typically the character of Shalom's Nidok. And that's something I stand by what I said before. However, at the end of the day, getting back to the question, why would this Arma'ah, deserve the death penalty? What I was suggesting was, I don't know the Makar, and if it isn't really on the list of Shemit Zbnei Noach, right, then it's not because of Azaras HaZubisasa there. But there might be kind of an Azaras HaZubisasa anyway, just because, and this is the question, I'm not sure, simply because of the severity of what, of the implications of what he did. Or maybe that isn't the Makar, but either way, we can understand a kind of a Ra'al Shom to what Ben Tziv says. Ben Tziv says he was a Ra'al Shom because he was Tamei and he was Nichnas Lazar. But whether he actually means this is a din or whether it's a Ra'al Shom or some other explanation, what I was trying to explain was that, trespassing into Korban Pesach is particularly severe. And that, this idea of Kol B'neicha L'yom Kol Bo is, however, in some respects, even more so for the Rambam, is particularly severe because the whole idea is about the distinctiveness of Kedushas Yisrael. So just to clarify a little more, here you had an individual who didn't just happen to be fed Korban Pesach or who took and ate Korban Pesach. He's boasting to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira that he passed himself off as a member of Klal Yisrael, right? And now he's actually, boasting about it, and at the end of the day, how ironic is that? Well, the whole point of Korban Pesach, the whole history of Korban Pesach, and the whole theme of Korban Pesach is about havchana, right, between the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam's with Baruch Shalom Kleidon, Knesset Yisrael, and everything else. So it's, Pasach al Bate al Seder Mitzrayim, and it was, Loi de Shliach, Loi de Malach, El Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ba'abichvodo Ba'atzmo. And the whole point was, to make that distinction and to kind of underwrite that special relationship. So here we have this person who, is boasting, about how he, passed himself off, in order to get a good meal or to make fun of the Jews or to show them that they're not distinct. So I don't know whether that's, now I wasn't there to ask in this question, but all I'm trying to say is that it wasn't a small infraction. It was an infraction that goes to the heart and core, that kind of, completely shred the significance of Korban Pesach. And that, I think, is important to know. Indeed, not only Korban Pesach, but of course all the Zechiras and Tzias Mitzrayim is what distinguishes Klal Yisrael from the rest of the world. That's the Ramban famous, you know, motif throughout his Perush Al HaTorah about Zechiras and Tzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so we'll get to that in just a second in another context, and that is the next point that we were discussing. And that is Tosas's curious explanation as to why Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira didn't come to Imakim Korban Pesach, and the connection to Dinei Rabia. So again, the shonos, you know, of that formulation. Who showed me again the rag? Was it Yom? Yeah, you have the language again. Kihechi, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He says. He says, "Yish lomer de efshar shahayaz zakin sheino yachol la'alos raglov de patermin hariya kidi ida per kama de chagiga v'chi hechi de patermin hariya pater nami bi pesach."
Yeah. So again, kihechi is a nivikum. Again, it's hard to figure out exactly, but it's a little bit different than the language of Tosus, where Tosus just says. One second. Kamo Miriam. Okay. So it's hard to know Kamo, and then it's Slach has it. But anyway, just to sum up, I think the Lashonos are important here, to look at them more carefully. Of course, again, we discussed the fact that none of this appears in the Rambam, that the Mishnah Melech denies it completely. He doesn't even understand it. So just to sum up, I was suggesting it's a kind of super Re'iya itself, given that Pesach, or Chag HaMatzos, is the first, and maybe the paradigm, Yom Tov. I talked about Lina and other things. I think that that's a fruitful suggestion. The second idea, I think, is also very, again, they don't have to all be right, I'm sure they're not, to explain this phenomenon. But they trigger us to think about these ideas. I'm not sure whether these ideas are correct either, but I do know that they're possible and that they connect with things that are true. So the second one is maybe suggests that there's no connection to Re'iyah whatsoever, except that what the suggestion being proposed is that, again, a different kind of kihechi, right? Meaning not that midin, like there's a subset or a subcategory subsumed under, and therefore has, you know, mimela, the dinim of re'iya, but that the reason that you're potur mi re'iya is relevant also to being potur mi korban pesach, even though never the twain shall meet. Because this isn't the din in korban pesach being a form of Re'iya, right? It's the common denominator of the Petur. For whatever reason, you're Pata Re'iya, you're Pata Mikorban Pesach. And that, I just want to add this for a minute, and I said it the other day, but I think that ends up connecting also to the much bigger, subtle argument here, as we'll see in a second. Because maybe the idea, again, you have to look at each of these Petur in Re'iya. And of course, let me just say more. Again, when the Mishnah Melech wonders whether the equation between Re'iyah and Korban Pesach is maybe not even more extensive, right? Again, if you take the first view, which is that, you know, it's Korban Pesach as kind of a subcategory of Re'iyah, and even then, you certainly could be mechalik between general dinim of Re'iyah and Korban Pesach. You know, by virtue of the fact that it's a more intense or an unusual or additional expression, even within it, doesn't mean that you're going to take lock, stock, and barrel all of the dina. But you are more likely, default, you are more likely to. However, if you take the second approach, which is that the Peturim of Re'iyah, right, are relevant to Korban Pesach, you know, completely disentangled from the relationship to Re'iyah, then certainly you'd be selective, because it's very reasonable to think that there's more than one type of RIA exemption. There are RIA's exemptions that are more universal and would apply to other things. I'll explain the other things in a second, even though I already said it. And then there are RIA exceptions that have to do with the very particular character and nature of RIA. That second group will for sure have nothing to do with Korban Pesach default going forward. Whereas the ones that have nothing to do with RIA, but, you know, relate to a common phenomenon, that's a different story. So what is that common phenomenon? So then this is what I was suggesting, and that is, you know, the perspective of, you know, both in RIA and in, I mean, you can talk about some Chagiga too, but certainly in RIA and in Korban Pesach, the question of, you know, whether or not you're, what you can't do is be mevatel, right? Or you need an excuse not to be mekayem, essentially. In other words, you know, are you default mechuyev and you need an excuse, right? Or, you know, the opposite. Right? You're not mechuyev, but you can't be mevatel. But what's the fine line between those two things? I mean, they are different in emphasis. So, and again, I was trying to suggest that when it comes to Korban Pesach in particular, the Torah uses the expression chagal, which maybe, it's a rare, rare usage in the Torah. And maybe what it reflects is somebody who's mevatel, you know, going for Korban Pesach. So again, you know, like there are all sorts of questions regarding Aliyah, you know, Ria and Chagiga, you know, Lashiyesh B'maisa, Lashiyim B'maisa. Again, what's the expectation? So maybe some of these things are, it, as long as it doesn't, as long as Al-Pidin, you're not being Nevatel, then that's fine. You know, and what's the difference between, you know, abstaining from being Mekayim and being Mevatel? Again, something which in general we have pointed out as a very fine point. In both cases, you're sitting home. The answer is how much expectation there is and how much legitimate counter pressure there is. If I don't do something because it's very difficult, right, I'm not abstaining. I'm not doing it, but I'm not abstaining and I'm not being Mevatel. Right? So it's always a function of the interrelationship between how much positive, you know, requirement there is, you know, and what the circumstances are, right, that curtail my implementation. So certainly, again, the question of, you know, zaken, no difficulty, whether, you know, karka has to do with that, that's, I'm not going to go into the details of Torah Chagiga, here you might make distinctions. But again, this idea of chadal would perhaps, the conditions that determine whether or not we are magdir, that you're being mevatel, right, or you're simply not being mekayim, that part I think is very relevant. Okay, and I'll just talk about that for another second in a minute. So then the third approach is the tzlach. And that is that, you know, what Tosfos had in mind has nothing to do with Korban Pesach. It only has to do with Ri'iyah. The idea is that if you are fulfilling the mitzvah of Ri'iyah, right, or if you have no excuse not to do Ri'iyah, then you should also be doing Korban Pesach. So the Balaam is a link, and not a conceptual link at all, but there's a practical link. If you have an excuse not to do Aliyah L'Regel, there's no Mechayiv for you separately to do Korban Pesach. But if you're supposed to be there, then, and you're not there, that's a different story. By the way, that itself may be relating to what I just spoke about, right? Namely, you're not mevatel Korban Pesach unless there's an expectation that you're supposed to be there. And the expectation, in this case, doesn't have to do with the conditions of Ria. Maybe they're a different story. It has to do with the fact, self-self, of whether you're supposed to be there for Ria. But the point is that according to that perspective, and that's what the Mikos Kino draws out of it, The implication is that Korban Pesach alone is not, and unlike Re'iyah, does not mechayev you to leave your home and to go to the Azara and to take part. And that's where the Minchas Chinuch, you know, really, you know, rejects the Tzlach. That's where he's offended. He says, what, it's worse than Dalin Dinim? Or any other mitzvah saseh where, you know, you're obligated to put in some effort? Right? That's the ha'ara of the Minchas Chinuch. And he basically throws up his hands and he doesn't have a real suggestion. But it sounds like the Tzlach, Udime, and again, the Netziv goes even further by saying that, you know, if you're sitting home, and your Netziv goes even further, right? Netziv says, if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, right, then there's no Chiyuv Korban Pesach. Ad kedei kach, again, answering the Mishnah Balak's question, well, isn't that the din of Derech Rechok? Right? So, the Mishnah Balak says, well, maybe you want to say that Derech Rechok of his Chiyuv Pesach Sheni, albeit for the Rambam, he doesn't have this, without Kare stakes, right? But here, it's not even Chiyuv Korban Pesach Sheni. Mishnah Balak says, no, that cannot be. That's what the Netziv says. Right? Netziv presumably knew the Mishnah Malach. He said it anyway. So we'll get back to that in its own right in just a second, why, you know, this should have that effect. But again, it seems to be that a very fundamental, big argument. I mean, there's a group of Achronim that understand that Korban Pesach is only mechuyim if you're in proximate range. And otherwise, you're just not mechuyim. And Minchas Chinuch thinks it's a kvasei, it's a mitzvah, and you have to do it. On the contrary, the Minchas Chinuch says it's a mitzvah sei sheyesh bo karas. It's an even more urgent mitzvah. So I think that in a way, these two perspectives both draw on mitzvah sei sheyesh bo karas. Maybe the Tzlach and the Netziv, those who are saying this idea, are looking at Korban Pesach mostly, you know, as kind of a lab. And what they're saying is that even though it takes a form of mitzvah saseh, right, but it's more that you get kares for bittul, you know, Korban Pesach, not for ekiyum Korban Pesach. Right? And in that sense, the reason it has kares is because it's almost like, you know, it looks like a law in a way, or it's treated like a law. It's the violation, it's abstaining from coming, it's you know, refusing to come. You know, it's kind of avoiding, you know, Korban Pesach. But that's only true if you're really avoiding. And, you know, if you're not, you know, in the Azara, you know, or more even, if you're not in Eretz Yisrael even, then you're not avoiding, you're just not fulfilling. You know, that's not the din of Korban Pesach. It's a mitzvah say. Yeah, but the mitzvah say, I'm not making it up. I'm suggesting this one. It's a mitzvah say sheyesh bakaris. Oh, isn't that more urgent? No, it shows it's kind of like, you know, really in its heart, you know, in its core, it's more like a law. And maybe the Minchas Chinuch would be saying, no, the opposite. And that is the fact that it's when do we find Karis in the Mitzvah Saseh? Right? Mitzvah Saseh is an opportunity. Right? Obviously, this is a... So the answer is, right, and when you do find it, it's because really, it looks like a Mitzvah Saseh, but it's more like a law. But the opportunity is so great that ignoring it is bittul. Or, but the Minchas Chinuch is not thinking of it that way. He's thinking, this is a mitzvah sei sheyesh bo karas. So it's really mechuyev. So again, is he arguing that, you know, the chiyuv is so great that anything is bittul? Or is he arguing that the chiyuv is so great there's even a kares when you ignore the opportunity. As a chiyuv, you got a new one. Hard to know. But again, just to put this stuff in context, you know, the Rambam's tummy, derech rechoka, you know, as opposed to onus and shogeg, which is that you are mufka, and there's at least no kares, is a madrega in this discussion. Those are people who are not just patur, they don't get kares for not coming and doing the Korban Pesach. They are people who are, you know, a mufka from at least from the chiyuv. They still have a secondary chiyuv, mitzvah saseh, but that's only a mitzvah saseh. That's not any more mitzvah saseh sheyesh bo kares. And it's also interesting, however, to know, and this I made allusion to the other day, that in the two mitzvah saseh, sheyesh bakaris, is if we can just get somebody, I don't have it with me, Korban Pesach and Mila for just for a second. Anybody has access? Or somebody at home has access? Wow. Ellie, go ahead. Ellie keeps me on my feet on the Zoom every day. First he goes to the Louvre. Now he's being really modest.
This wasn't my doing, Rabbi. It was a coercion from the co-host.
Understood. So, yeah. I get it. Anyways, does anybody have... Do one from here and one from there. We'll split it up. If you look in the beginning of Vichas Korban Pesach and the beginning of Vichas Mila, again, I don't know if other people make this hour or not, but it seems to me that the Rambam's formulation of Mitzvah Seh, you have it?
I have it.
Go ahead. Oh, you have it? Go ahead.
Okay. So,
oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm not hearing. So wait, did you read Aleph Aleph?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of it, but yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, I read it, yeah.
Okay, just slowly again. This is Korban Pesach, right?
I'm reading Korban Pesach.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm not hearing it. So try it one more time, sorry. Okay, now I'm hearing it. Okay. Now read, do you have it? Also, do you have Korban Pesach? So basically, before you continue, just remember that the Rambam, when he formulates Mila, says it's a mitzvah saseh, shechayim bokaris. Correct? Okay. And then he goes on to discuss, again, you know, that really it's the object of the Mila, you know, who has the kares, not the father, right? The Rambam also happens to have the view, and this is a whole discussion with Rambam and Raivin, right? Every time you're not, you know, you're always in a state of being mevatel the Mila if you don't do it. However, again, the kares only applies if you lived your whole life and you never did. Right? That's a big chiddush in Rambam. Now to read Korban Pesach. Oh, what's the difference? It sounds different or not? To me, it sounds different. It sounds like the Rambam describes Mila as having the characteristic of being in mitzvahs aseh sheish bakaris. And it sounds like Korban Pesach is a mitzvah saseh, right? And if Revatel it, one more time, read the Korban Pesach again. He doesn't call it initially like he does in Milah mitzvah saseh sheish bakaris, right? In characterizing mitzvah saseh, he's quiet about it. It's only in discussing the method or the conditions of its violation, right, that he speaks about, and then he piles them on. You have to be zadon. You make sure it's only if you're not derech rechoka and tameh, but the shivasa, of course, so he singles them out, and then he's like, oh, and if you're shogeg, you don't get it either. He makes sure to treat them separately because they're different, right? So basically what I'm trying to suggest is that maybe one can be medayik, that mitzvahs mila is by definition, that's part of the urgency, part of the, you know, the pull of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a mitzvah seh sheish bakaris. And Korban Pesach is a mitzvah seh. Bittul Korban Pesach is not a law, it's b'shem al kaseh. Right? But still only the bittul, which is b'chai b'karis. But it's not a characteristic in the aseh. Okay. So I think that this may be very relevant, not only to the Rambam's derech rechoka and so on. You know, what do you mean it's a hapka? Right? But also to this question, whether or not, you know, not being mevatel, you know, is good enough. Or, and, you know, are you, you know, only chayav when you're there and you're ignoring it or you're bypassing it, right? Or you know, being, you know, or staying home, you know, but the urgency of doing it is also great. Okay.
Rebbe? Isn't it mistaber also based on how we're understanding the Korban Pesach and its Korban Emuna, that maybe the idea of obligating somebody to do it, you know, maybe more limited, similar to like the question about, do we obligate people to have, you know, do you count the mitzvah of believing in Hashem? Kind of around like that, is it almost like you could explain for the Tzlach and the Cheschinuch, that it almost is like, I'm not going to force you to come. You should put yourself in a situation where you're going to come on your own. Sort of because that's what the Korban Pesach is representing.
Good.
Korban
Emunah. I think it makes sense. On both sides, it makes sense. A little, right. Again, the, you know, counting the mitzvah of Amunah in the Minyan Tayyah, I think is more about the question, you know, for the Bahag anyway. It's not the question of like you can't force people to do that. At least the Ramban understands it. To be more a question of, well, this is so foundational, you know, calling it a mitzvah saseh is kind of downgrading it or trivializing it. I think that's more, that's how the Ramban understood the Bahag. Nothing, and certainly it's not voluntary. And I wouldn't say the Korban Pesach is voluntary either. But being, expressing it in this way is, you know, it could just be perceived that it's an opportunity. You know, and it's also not something that you can trifle with. But, you know, maybe there are other ways to accomplish it. But I do. I think it's, you know, somewhat connected. And it's an interesting problem. Again, so let me just take one more step back. And that is, it's a fascinating argument. And I do think, as I said the other day, this provides, you know, the bridge to the next quick point. And that is that the status, you know, this also relates to what Natana was asking a little bit. The status of Korban Pesach, which is so complex, as, you know, again, in some Gemaras it's called Korban Tzibur, in some Gemaras it's called Korban Yachid. In, you know, some Gemaras it's a Korban which is brought the Kinufya. So, and of course, you know, again, an essential part of the Korban is that it's the only Korban that has this unique, like, configuration of, you know, in between of Minui and Chabura. So in a way, I don't know whether that does that make it like super urgent to do it, you know, like the Midrash Chinuch. Like, oh, Midrash Chinuch actually is not saying that it's more urgent than other mitzvot. Say, he's saying, I can't believe you think it's less. But if you're going the Midrash Chinuch's way already, certainly you can make the case Mitzvah Shish Bakaris and everything else that it should be more, if anything. Right. So, you know, as opposed to Tzlach and others, which so are saying, you know, you can't bypass it, you know, but you're not obligated to pick yourself up and do it, certainly not on a chorus level. So how does being, you know, on the one hand, like, you know, Klal Yisrael is bringing Karbanos Pesach, and that in some respects is a Korban Tzibur. You know, on the other hand, you know, here's your opportunity to bring a Korban Tzibur subset, you know, with a minui of your own, or to engage in the kenufim. So I'm not sure about exactly, you know, whether, you know, the first of all, there's a range within, you know, what do you emphasize in Korban Pesach? Again, I, l'shitasi, think that all these things are true, and it's part of the story. It's Korban Tzibur, it's Korban Yochai, it's Korban Kenufim, it's a Korban of Chabura. Whether this is a reason, you know, to go in one extreme or the other extreme, I'm not sure, but my instinct, at least, tells me that it's relevant to this question. That treating it differently is connected to the fact, you know, that it is not just because these are, you know, unusual and unusual, you know, and two anomalies are likely to be connected. I think they're directly connected. I just think you can make the case, you know, in either direction. So that's an important perspective. This leads us to the final point, which is especially the Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz point. And again, the Mishnah Melech talks about that. Like, what does Eretz Yisrael have to do, you know, with this? So as far as that is concerned, I already hinted at it. So let's talk about it for a couple of more minutes. In general, the role of Eretz Yisrael in Korban Pesach is an interesting issue. Right, the Torah speaks about Pesach Mitzrayim, and then the Torah also, you know, has you know, the story of Pesach Sheni that I was referring to before, which is in Parshas Balosla, is a Pesach Midbar. Right? So we know for sure that there was an original Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, and there was a second Korban Pesach in which this whole Lama Nigara, like a fascinating parsha, you know, in the Torah, the Galgulin Schus Aidei Zaka, like a shocking phenomenon, right? And I already just alluded to the fact that, you know, Kares is from that parsha, and maybe the Nusach of, you know, Korech is from that parsha. Fine, good. But from then on, is there a Korban Pesach outside of Eretz Yisrael? So this is a huge debate in Parshanut, in Chazal, in the Mefarshim. There are different schools. There's one school that says that all there was Pesach Mitzrayim, and that first Pesach in the Midbar. And after that, right, the Eretz Yisrael is a prerequisite for Korban Pesach. Right, Pesach Mitzrayim is the seaport, the history, it's where it happened, of course. But what about the Pesach Midbar? That's more difficult. Now, of course, the status of Pesach Mitzrayim itself is a fascinating topic. Right, how paradigmatic and normal, right, really was Pesach Mitzrayim, right? I mean, Zos Chukas HaPesach, you know, came from that almost immediately, connecting them. But of course, we understand that, you know, the history, you know, and the peculiar parts, you know, of the actual story, you know, are unusual. So that there are additional elements in Pesach Mitzrayim for sure. What about, are there different elements, like less elements that you require afterwards as part of the Sipur, you know, and the halakhic commemoration that were not in Pesach Mitzrayim? So there's a whole discussion, number one, in the sugyas later on, right? Which, you know, list, and Rambam discusses this, of course, in Hilchos Parm Pesach too, right? What was unusual and what was common between Pesach Doros and Pesach Mitzrayim? Very interesting question. Per se interesting, but especially interesting in light of what we're talking about right now. The Achlos HaBasar B'Layla HaZeh, right, there are some who think that maybe it wasn't even a Karpan B'Shaita, but it was an Achiv of Achilas Basar. And then the question is, L'Doros, are there two dinim? Achilas Karpan Pesach is a dinim of Achlos HaBasar B'Layla HaZeh, and also of Karpan Pesach, of Karpan? What's the relationship between those things? Even though the question of Achilas Agavra, Achilas Agavtsa, right, to what extent is Korban Beis HaLevi that we talk about, right? If you look at the both Beis HaLevis, the one in Chelek Aleph and the one in Chelek Gimel, Beis HaLevi already says that Korban Pesach has two dinim. It has a din of Korban, and it has a din of Achilas HaBasar B'Layla HaZeh. The Rav has a piece also with his father in Kiddush Avraham HaGrid, and many, many, there's a lot of discussion about this. You know, how normative were the dinim of Korban Pesach Mitzrayim relative to, and how much of Pesach Mitzrayim was also then, you know, added on to the Korban part. I always like to say the Korban Pesach is a Shmos Korban, and not a Vayikra Korban. But part of that has to do with the Shmos story in Parshas Bo of Korban Pesach. So Pesach Mitzrayim, and how unusual it was, you know, in both directions, is an interesting topic. Why am I mentioning it now? Because it wasn't an Eretz Yisrael. So you could just say, yeah, because it's what we're celebrating, commemorating. This is where it was an Eretz Yisrael, whole story remember that. But I'm saying, in addition to that, There are other features of Pesach Mitzrayim that are unusual as well. But Pesach Midbar, of course, is much more of a difficult challenge because you don't have the history part of it. On the other hand, what you could say minimally is that, you know, this was the first opportunity, you know, Zos Chukas HaPesach, that it's the Doros Echem. So they have to establish it right away. And therefore establishing, you know, an anniversary, you know, the first Pesach, was very critical. In addition to which, you know, Megalgalin Zchus HaLidei Zakai, that became an important episode, the Lama Nigara, for the expansion to Pesach Sheni, which most views of Chazal say was always the intention to begin with, right? The Kares, which certainly seemed to have been the intention originally, but there are even interesting, you know, Deos and Mepharshim, and Parshas Baaloska about that. So what I'm saying is, number one, Pesach Midbar, the second year, was a way of being Koveya. In a way, it was the first, and it needed to be, you know, immediate, upon the first anniversary. If this was going to end up being L'Dori Doros, you know, a critical part of Korban Pesach, or of the celebration, commemoration. And number two, essay turns out that there were added elements, certainly in the partials, that came through. Otherwise, right, that Pesach Midbar would seem to preclude the idea that Eretz Yisrael is a requirement in Korban Pesach. Right? So it's, either way, there is a major debate, as I say. Like some of the Rishonim thought that Pesach Midbar of the first year was an anomaly, and after that you have to wait for Eretz Yisrael. While others thought, no, Korban Pesach doesn't require Eretz Yisrael. You know, again, let me make it clear. It's b'mokam ha-shayivchar. So once there is a mikdash, you know, then he can't do it anywhere, any other place. But it's not per se where it did in Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, Klal Yisrael, according to some of those views, were punished and certainly criticized, right, for not being, you know, tahar, or not being, you know, zealous, means reason, you know, to make sure that they would do Pesach in all the years from Pesach Midbar until the story in Yehoshua, right, which already in Eretz Yisrael, you know, is a big moment, right, in the... So this is a major debate. Was there a Chiyuv Pesach Midbar all the years or not? Oh. So that's an interesting question. Now, why would Eretz Yisrael be a requirement, per se, of Korban Pesach? Right? They brought other Korbanos in the Midbar. You know, when they had the Mishkan. So here, the suggestion might be made that it goes to the heart and core of that interface between Korban Pesach and Eretz Yisrael. After all, as we just, you know, spent a little time explaining, Korban Pesach is a Korban Emunah, it's a mitzvah sheyesh bakares. One of the things that I mentioned is the Havamina and the Mechilta and the Sifrei, that a Gershon is Geyer has to bring a Korban Pesach, no matter what. Ki'ilu, and this, you know, has other evidence too, of course, ki'ilu to say that despite my diuk of the Rambam, and I don't think it's contradicted by it either, that Mila is for Kedushas Yisrael B'Yachid, right, what Korban Pesach is to Kedushas Yisrael B'Rab. And if it's like a ger, male ger, you know, requires Mila, right, he also, you would have thought, requires a Korban Pesach, that Korban Emunah of the Tzibur, or at least B'Kenufya. If that's the case, then there might be good reason why there's a special connection between Eretz Yisrael and Korban Pesach. And the Ramban in particular likes the idea, right, that Korban Pesach really requires Eretz Yisrael, the Chatechila. And again, he has a discussion about this question. You know, what is the story after the first Pesach Midbar? But otherwise, you really need Eretz Yisrael. So it's interesting, in light of all that, that I was thinking, like, why would Eretz Yisrael be a factor in even beyond Richuk Makom, right? Or in this question of being poter because of Pesach? Again, let me make clear. There is for sure a possible distinction between the question whether Korban Pesach per se requires Eretz Yisrael, it can only be Nikrab in Eretz Yisrael, and the question of whether or not we're Matil B'Chiyuv, or the Chiyuv Mutal Al Kal Yachid B'Yachid, only if they happen to be in Eretz Yisrael. Right? And you could be mechalik in either direction, frankly. Even if you think that Korban Pesach, you know, requires Dafka Eretz Yisrael, you still might think that, you know, that has to do with Havkramas HaKorban, not with the, you know, the boundaries that impose the Chiyuv on individuals. I think you could be mechalik in the opposite way too. Even if you thought that Korban Pesach per se doesn't require Eretz Yisrael, but you still might say, well, you need Kiruv Makom because otherwise it's not Chadal or Bittol. And what is Kiruv Makom? Then you start looking geographically, you know, at the concentric circles. You know, and there's, you know, the Azara, and there's Yerushalayim. You know, then there's Eretz, you know, Esther Kedusha saying, there's Eretz Yisrael. So maybe you need to be within you know, one of the closer concentric circles, since this is something that now takes place in the Azara, right, in order to be considered Chadah. So I don't think it has to be Habatah, but I do think that it's compelling to think the more that Eretz Yisrael is a factor in the Korban, right, that might be a reason also for it to be the determining factor of being in the orbit or being in the, you know, framework or atmosphere or environment, you know, of Chiyuv, or at least of what constitutes Bittul. And this is something I found that the Maram Shik suggested. That's why I mentioned the Maram Shik. He quotes it. It's a very interesting sefer, and this is on the Taryag Mitzvos. Everybody will recall, hopefully, we were here last year. We spent some time in the Maram Shik on Meshuggah. It's also very fascinating. So again, you know, you could argue with a lot of things, but he has a good eye. You know, he has this Mahaskama, he has a great eye. And he brings up things, and yeah. So Maishna is a mitzvah. Maishna the Bishar Kabbalah is only a shkipul mitzvah. I'm sorry, that's that we discussed for a little bit. Why is it? That's also great. Talk about that. Next point. Oh, there it is. Okay. The Ayin Mishal Malach Reishah was Karm Pesach. Kasab Pshitus Minz Karm Pesach Noi Gam Chutz Laretz. Shagam Yoshve Chutz Laretz Mechuyav in Malos Nishkan Pesach. You can even see a little bit, he's conflating. The Mitzvah Karm Pesach Nohe Gam Chutz Laretz. Okay. The Tepa Tosis Pesach and Gimel. Barisi, I don't know the Sefer. Shomer Tzion Lichtav Nun Zayin. Okay. The Abbezin of... Penrasheim? Abraham will tell us, you know, who he is. No? You know? Okay, good. We'll get your Rebbe credit for that. Navy Ryan, the Tosis me Horios of Gimel. So, what is Horios of Gimel? So, when I saw this, I was very excited. Horios of Gimel is the Gemara that says, right, if Bezin HaGadol makes a mistake in Horos, right, and Rove Klal Yisrael, as a result, you know, are over. So that's the parsha of Parhalam Davar Shel Tzibur. Instead of bringing individual korbanos, the collective Klal Yisrael brings a single korban. Question is, how do you define majority? Right, world Jewry? That would be a possibility. That makes sense. But the Gemara says that it depends on the boundaries, they darshan, based on psukim, that it depends on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And the rule is that kahal Yisrael shall be Eretz Yisrael ikri kahal, kahal Yisrael shall be chutz la'aretz lo ikri kahal. Which of course makes a lot of sense. By the way, those boundaries seem to be the boundaries of Yehoshua. This is what Maram Shik doesn't speak about. I think when we learned Sanhedrin a couple years ago, we spoke about this. They're the boundaries of Yehoshua, not the boundaries of Ezra. Maybe we mentioned Chulin even last year, I'm not sure. And that, of course, is a big problem because Lachar Chorban, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, depends on the boundaries of Ezra. But it's one of those examples, Rambam says the same thing by Smicha, right, that the boundaries of Yehoshua are determinative. And there are a few other examples of this as well. Anyways, why is that important? The idea in Horios is, I'll just give you one other example because I'm going to, when the Rambam in Pirshu Mishnayos, right, wants to explain, you know, why Smicha, rabbinic ordination, the real one, the one for Ladun Dine Knossos and Dine Nefashos, right? That, why that's limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's curious, it's interesting that the Rambam speaks about Smicha and Smicha's Kenim, speaks about the Sugyan Param Damashot Zibor and actual Smicha together. And or the Arsameach and others point out that maybe this Gemara in Horios is the key. What is the Gemara in Horios telling us? That the Din Tzibur, Klal Yisrael, is a collective, a particular feature of Eretz Yisrael. So if you want to know the majority of Klal Yisrael that dictates whether you bring a single korban, meaning all of Klal Yisrael is kote, right, or Klal Yisrael is kote, as opposed to Reuven, Shuv, Shimon, Yehuda individuals, right, you look to the Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael. Right? And for that reason, as he doesn't talk about, but that's why it depends on the boundaries of Yehoshua, not the boundaries of Ezra. Because it has nothing to do with Kedushas Karka. It has to do with what the Rav used to call Shame Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Mokom of the Tzibur. Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Din of Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh, which I actually spoke about this past Shabbos a little bit, that Din only applied when Eretz Yisrael, it only applied when Kol Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. That's the, you know, Remez and Hanastaros, Lashem Elokeinu, Aniglos, Lano Levaneinu, it has those, you know, signs on it. All of this is part of this idea that Eretz Yisrael is what's Koveya in terms of the collective Tzibur. Oh, if that's the case, so that's what he's quoting here. He quotes a Mishnah, how come, what does Eretz Yisrael have to do with anything? He quotes a Sefer that says, oh, it's a Sugyan Horios, Leitri Kahol, Elav Eretz Yisrael. And then he points out, technically, the Gam Pasach Psiv, Shmosin Beis Talit, Vav, the Shachatu Oso, right? Kol Kahal, I don't know why I skipped the word Kahal, Kol here. Yisrael, Kol Adas Yisrael. So he says, oh, it's the same idea. Now, of course, now the Marim Shik himself says he doesn't think it's correct. Because what are you going to do about, number one is the difference between Asiya and who's Mechuyev. I think he makes that point. I'm not 100% sure. And then he talks about linguistically. That part doesn't interest me so much. But what does trouble him is how could you have Pesach Mitzrayim? And how could you have Pesach Midbar? Okay? But that doesn't trouble me at all. How did you have Smicha? The first Smicha that was ever given was also Parshas Paloscha, right? The smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua, and then, by extension, to the Shin Skate. Right? But, again, it's a little mysterious what the Makar is, but the Gemara says in Sanhedrin very explicitly, the Din D'oraisa, right? The Rambam paskens this way, and that is you need Eretz Yisrael for smicha. How could the paradigm of smicha take place outside of Eretz Yisrael? And mostly, no one's even asking the question. And when the Rambam discusses Smicha, he says, Smicha goes back, Ad Beis Dino Shel Yoshua, the Ad Beis Dino Shel Moshe. We don't even think that because, you know, there are some differences in terms of the details, and maybe more, like Smicha B'Yadayim, and, you know, Smicha, well, there was also Manhikus, that, you know, oh, that's, you know, shiny to shiny. So what's the answer? I think the answer is simple. On one level, you can just say, well, you're not, you know, there's no violation of the requirement of Eretz Yisrael before there's an Eretz Yisrael. Right? So maybe Eretz Yisrael is ma'akeh, but only when Eretz Yisrael exists. But I think that's much too technical a way to put it. I think the bigger idea is that if the role of Eretz Yisrael is that it establishes collective Kahal Yisrael, right? Did that not exist at all until Knesa Laaretz? Well, again, I mentioned the Gemara in Sanhedrin. For certain things, I guess it didn't. But certainly already, there was a Kahal Yisrael in the time of Maimon Har Sinai and in the Midbar. right? And Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason Moshe Rabbeinu could give smicha to Yeshua is because he instantiated the interests of Kol Klal Yisrael. Right? So once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, maybe Eretz Yisrael is a requirement for that. But until they did, you know, Kahal Yisrael, Sheberetz Yisrael was the original group, Hayom Hazeh Niyesa La'am, that experienced, you know, that experienced Yitzias Mitzrayim. That was part of it. And then Maamid Har Sinai. And then, you know, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, who were in the Midbar, and some of them were by Haaretz as a transition, and so on. So, especially the first, and maybe even according to those who thought that you continued, that was Klaus. The whole point is that Korban Pesach is a Korban HaTzibur, the Korban HaMunah of the Tzibur, the Mila, you know, of the Rabban. If that's the case, the idea that, you know, maybe you need to be in Eretz Yisrael to be mechuyev or considered to be mevatel, either or, frankly, would make a great deal of sense. Okay, now let's move our attention to the next part of the Gemara. Zach, you want to do it for us? You want to read it for us? Where are we up to? I think so, yeah. What do we have? A little good sense of humor, right?
Okay.
So of course, all this just reinforces, you know, it's a little bit shocking, frankly, but in a good way, in an inspirational way. You know, this idea, don't be the one who reveals the bad news. Obviously, you should be the one to reveal the bad news if you're the most sensitive one and the people need to hear it. But the point is to cushion people's emotional or their disappointment, or in the case of a serious loss, again, the emotional trauma, but also, you know, to avoid negativity, right? To speak in a positive way. And this all goes back to the sanctity of language, but also the, you know, very high standards and demands of how people interact, and I guess taking extra steps to be sensitive and to cushion, you know, say disappointment. You know, an initial reaction, again, psychology has taught us that people's like initial response to things is, you know, a powerful force. How the brain and how the heart, I guess, you know, perceives something initially, you know, needs to be overcome. First impressions are very powerful. So in addition to everything else, I think that's all also kind of implicit in this command. Okay, let's continue. Rab barachua de rabchia ubarachtia. A strange relationship. We're not learning Yavamo, so we don't need to, you know, draw the family tree. But wow, you know, they could get, you know, the entire family around Thanksgiving dinner without violating any protocols because they're all, you know, related to each other on all sides. Okay, go ahead. Either he said Ima Kayemis or what's the other possibility? Or he said Ima Kayemis. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so just for a couple of minutes, just this Gemara is oft quoted. Again, the things that we've been zeroing in on, which are not, you know, the main issues of Chametz and Matzah for a couple of days. But again, these are all Gemaras that are very central to the topics that we've been discussing, whether it be the question of Yom and Laila, you know, or the question of, you know, Korban Pesach. These Gemaras and these Rishonim are really central. So actually this Gemara here, which is also mostly repeated in Moed Katan and Atchav, is a very important Gemara. You know, meaning it tells us some very important details. So let's just very, very quickly, we're not learning Hosavelus now, but some of the discussions are, again, just, you know, we should be aware of them. The first thing is to note is there's a debate among the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosis, other Rishonim here, other Rishonim, Moed Katan. Who was the oven? Who was the oven? I mean, Reb Chiya was an Avel for his... Reb Chiya was the Avel for sure. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Who's he an Avel for? The way Rashi reads the Gemara, many were showing him. For his brother and sister. Right? But other Rishonim have it differently. According to them, he was an Avel for his parents. Okay, why is this important? So there's a comment again of some of the Rishonim, Rav Ramban, the Ritva, and that is because one might have thought, is this a raya that the din of Shmua Rechoka applies even to Avelus Aviv Imo? So the Ritva says, for example, here in the Ramban and Taurus Adam, it happens to be true that Shmua Rechoka applies even to Avelos Avav Yima, right? But you wouldn't know it from this Gemara. Which is another way of saying what? That. What? I'm saying whether, do you know from this Gemara that the din of Shmua Rechoka, meaning that you only need, you know, one day, or even, you know, mikta sayom, or whatever it is, that applies even to Abavim. Whether you know it from this Gemara or not, or whether you might think that it isn't true, depends on what the story was here. In other words, if, who was it, Reb Chiya? If Reb Chiya was an Avel for his own parents, then the Gemara is saying that a Shmua Rechoka, the kulas of the Shmua Rechoka apply even to Avivi, to Avelus Avivi. But if we have the Gemara the way Rashi and many of the other Rishonim have it, which is that it was the loss for Rab, but it's the Avelus of Reb Chiya, meaning it's Avelus of an Ach or an Achos or both, and we don't know that from here. The point of that, like, so what? So we know from elsewhere. Meaning, what's being considered is the possibility, right, of a qualitative distinction between Avelus Yudbeis Chodeh, Avelus Avivim, I should say, and Avelus, other Avelus. Because there are such distinctions, as we know, right? You know, where in Dine Kriya, which side into the Kriya, how much Kriya, Takfa Alav Avelus, Kriya. There are a lot of distinctions between Avelus, you know, of a V'imo and Avelus, you know, of another relative. Clearly, Avelus of a V'imo is considered a more intense expression of Avelus. The question is, you know, Ein lecha b'chiluke me'lo ela chidusha, you know, whatever we know to be true, or do we extrapolate from there, meaning, you know, how similar or different are these Avelus? And of course, in terms of the length, Yudbeis Kodesh, in terms of the scope of what's included in it. But what about, forget about just the extra ones. What about within Shloshim and within Shiva? Are those differences, are they just purely quantitative, or is it also qualitative? So, you know, when you don't know, in the absence of knowledge, what will be the name? So what's being contemplated here was a possibility that Shmuel Rechoka would, the Kulav Shmuel Rechoka would apply to other Avelos, but Avaviva would require a full shiva. That's very fascinating. Okay. We do have expression of this actually with regard to Kriya. But there's a debate whether or not there's Kriya in Shmua Rechoka. And the Ram Paskins that there's no Kriya in Shmua Rechoka, but the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam is mechalic between Avaviva and Shar Krova. Even within Shmua Rechoka. And then there's a whole discussion. Again, if you look at Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Avelos, or Tur Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Avelos, you will see just how impactful Torah Sa'adam is. Like, it's unbelievable. Like last year we saw, just a little bit, how impactful, you know, Torah Sabayas is in Yoredeya. You know, but Torah Sa'adam is like a linchpin of Hilchos Avelos. Anyways, the view of the Ramban is that kriya of Avivimo is required in Shmua Rechoka, even though not other Krovim, and it seems like the Ramban is certainly cholek. The Ramban also makes a haran, this is Nifsak and Shulchan Aruch, that even Dine Shloshim, the Dine Shloshim, for example, of some of the Dine Shloshim, like Tispores, you know, for Avivimo doesn't end necessarily in Shloshim. There's also a requirement on Achi Yigrabo Chavera. So does that apply even in Shmur Rechoka? And what about the other Dinim of Yud Beis Kodesh? And do they begin Mishas Visa, or do they begin Mishas Shmur Rechoka? Right? These are all issues that are discussed. I mean, Ramban's view is that Achi Yigrabo Chavera, you know, continues. In other words, even if it's after Shloshim Yom, you know, even though it's only Shmur Rechoka, therefore you could have thought that it's a different kind of Chatzah Shal Avelos. Maybe it even dictates, you know, the whole Shloshim just doesn't apply, in which case there's no foundation to continue on Shiur Gabal Chavera. Rabban thinks it's wrong. And he thinks the Dine Yud Beis Chodesh also fully apply. But he thinks that they apply, this is not surprising, Miyom HaMisa, not Miyom HaShmur. Okay, so that is, that's one issue. And in general, as I say, there's like, you know, in other words, let's say, talking about, you know, the question of remarriage, right? When a spouse, you know, Chalila passes away, or, you know, Avivima, and quite persons, you know, question about, you know, getting married. So there's huge debates among the Rishonim whether these dinim were mechalek within Shiva, within Shloshim, between Avivima and others, or whether or not, you know, some of the dinim of Yud Beis Chodesh are the equivalent of Shloshim for other relatives or not. Meaning this whole question of, you know, the differences being quantitative or qualitative is a huge topic and theme. I think some of you I know are learning Hilchos Avelos, right? Or learned Hilchos Avelos, right? Natanael and Josh sounds like either in the summer or something, right? So you know that these are very big issues that are also reflected a little bit here. Okay, that's issue number one, just I wanted to bring up very quickly. Number two is the other Shmami. Now we're going to stop in a couple of minutes. I want to just get through the Avelos parts. So Shmami na Avel Aser ben Ilasan. Yeah. So what do we say about that? Eita?
Yeah,
Correct. Ramban Torah saw them, and the Ritva's calling him. He said, like, what's the Chiddush, Shema Amina? How does it go again? Shema Amina, Avol Asa Ben Ilasan. Of course, Avol's also Ben Ilasan. Right? This is your first day here and in person?
Yes.
See? Wow. Okay, I picked that up. So, so what do they say about it? Well, what would you say about it? Well, before what they say, you could have thought, again, but the question is, you know, Avos Asabidi Al-San, how do they formulate the question? They say it's a pasuk in, or it's derived from a pasuk in Yecheskel. Of course, Avos Asabidi Al-San. Okay, is that such a great question? Before we get to their answer, what might you have said? Okay, that's an answer. We'll get to it in a minute. Right? But it doesn't say that. It says, Shema Amina Avol Asa Ben Ilasan. Meaning, just the Pasuk in Yecheskel is not talking about Shmua Rechok. Right? It's talking about the normal meaning of Avelis. If Shmua Rechok doesn't require you to sit Shiva, right, then all bets maybe are off. Right? How do you know that it doesn't affect? It only affects how many days, right? It's, if you're not having the full complement of days, maybe that, you know, either directly or reflectively, indirectly, you know, reflects or you know, dictates what how the other things that you do. Moreover, either way, this shmur, I mean, it's the same thing. I'm saying the same thing in two different ways, but in two different emphases, right? Shmur rechoka is distant. So you're hearing about it right now. You're absorbing it for the first time. And maybe that's part of the psychology of the dinim of Shmur Rechoka. You know, for you, you've just heard it. It's a, you have to absorb this blow. Right? It's like Yom HaMisa. But it's not really like Yom HaMisa because when you hear about it and they tell you it happened a month ago, right, surely, on the one hand, it's your first exposure. And on the other hand, of course, it shapes the way that you look at the whole thing. Right. I mean, we're not treating it as Yom HaMisa. So how do you know? That's a big question, Shua Rechoka. Like, to what extent does this affect the way L'kula and L'chumra, frankly. If you only have one day or 1 hour, you know, maybe you have to overcompensate. You know, if it's so distant from the event and or therefore is going to be expressed in a very brief way, you know, do you need, maybe need more? Again, maybe need less. Okay? Anyways, that's not the answer that the Ramban gives. What's the answer of the Ramban? Eitan?
That you only need to be one of the
Yeah, so first thing that they both said, that the Ramban says, and Ritva's of course is working off of it, is that you don't have to do all the Dini Avelos in Shmua Rechoka. It's enough to do a single Kiyum. Who disagrees?
The Rambam.
Seems like the Rambam disagrees. Right, the Rambam sounds like he thinks that Shmua Rechoka requires the full, not 100% clear, but that's certainly the way it's taken. It mostly sounds that way. Right, that you really do require. You have the language, Eitan?
I don't have.
What is it, Beis Gimel or something? Anybody have it? Ellie, go ahead. You have it? Any of the Ellies, whoever gets it first. What? Shmur Chokha, yeah.
Gimel.
Is it Beis Gimel?
Yeah, I have Beis Gimel.
Bad.
Banav O Achiv Habamin Shivcha.
Zayin.
Oh, Beis Zayin.
No, Zion, Zion Bees.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's a Zion Day, sorry.
The Mitzvah Yom Kippur part.
Is it Zion Base?
Zion Base is Mixus Yom Kippur.
It starts on Zion Aleph and Base.
Misha Ba'alo Shmua Shemes Lo Karov. Im Besoch Shloshim Yom Higia Hashmua. Afilu Yom Shloshim Atzmo. Arezu Shmua Karova. Bechayev Linog Shiva Yemea Velas. Miyom Shehigia Hashmua. The Korea Umona Shloshim Le Isser Hatesporus Mshad.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Kol Shadavar Yom Shmua So Hakrova Kiyom Hakvura. Aval Imhi Gielo Hashmua Acher Shloshim Yom Harizu Shmua Rechoka. Veina Nohages El Yom Echad Veina Korea. Uki Ilo Yom Hashmua Hu Yom Shvii Yom Shloshim Umixas Yom Kikula.
Okay, that in itself is a very interesting formulation. The Rambam does two things that are interesting. Number one, he integrates Shmua Rechoka in a more normative way into Avelis by calling it Yitz Ki'ilo Yom Hashvi. It's one of the Yimei of the Shiva. It's not something totally separate. There's no Shiva at all. Right? On the seventh day of the Shiva, you have to do all the Dine Avelis. There's no light up. The only thing is the same mitzvah say Yom Kippur, which we'll get to in just a second. Whereas you could say that that's not the pshat in Shmua Rechoka. It's not that it's the seventh day or the last day. We treat it as the end of the Shiva. It's a din, it's a chalos in its own right. Correct? Okay, keep going. Then he keep going, Yoni. Yoni, I think you said Yoni's brother. Ellie, go ahead.
Halacha Beis. So Ketzad Mixas Hayom Kikulo.
You got me.
Kevan Shanahag Avelos Shah Achas Ki'ilu Nahag Kol Hayom Kulo. Umutter Linol V'lirchotz V'lasuch V'galech B'shar Hayom V'chein Umutter B'chol Advar.
Yeah. So by saying that everything else is mutter for Shar Hayom, it sounds clear that the Rambam is saying that during the Mitzvahs Kikulo, everything is Asur. Correct? So the Rambam has the effect, even though there's no Kriya, okay, maybe Kriya's, you would do Kriya on the last day of Shiva or within Shloshim. Maybe Kriya's a din of Shloshim within Shloshim Yom for the Rambam. Okay? But otherwise, Shmua Rechoka has a din of Yom of the last day of Shiva. What if Ramban then, we're back to Eitan now. So the Ramban says two things. Number one, you only need one Kiyam against the Rambam. So that sounds like it's a separate kalos. And what about any kiyum? Let's give you five more minutes and we'll finish up. Any kiyum?
It says that you need a maisa.
You need something begufa. What?
I think the
ritva says begufa. Correct. The ritva says begufa. Do you have the language of the Ramban? Okay, what does he mean? What is they both... I mean, the Ritva is working off the Ramban, but he might be interpreting the Ramban. What does the Ritva contrast to? I mean, the assumption was that Rabbi was wearing tefillin, I guess, and that the fact that they didn't say, I'll take off my tefillin, that'll do it, proves that chalitza's tefillah would it be enough. That's not considered, so according to the Ritva, that's not considered what? Maisa begufa. Why not? You're wearing tefillin and the question is taking it off. You're wearing shoes and the question is taking it off. Strange, right?
Yeah.
I would say, that's not what Ramban says. Ramban never mentions migufo. Although the Ramban does say, in Torah Sadam, Yisad Eitan.
Yeah, it seems to be a Maisa, the Migar,
You need a maisa that's nikar number one, as opposed to that's nikar before sun. Okay, as opposed to not washing, you know, or other things that you're passing that no one. Okay, you know, we don't do those things every second, right? But he also even atifas arosh, or those things, or kfiya samita doesn't apply. Ramban thinks, number one, you need to do something which is before sun, like kubas say before sun, so somebody seeing you will know. Number two, what he calls a mitzvah saseh, not a lav of avelas, correct? What do you mean mitzvah saseh and a lav of avelas? Is a mitzvah saseh, there are mitzvah saseh and lav of avelas? We a little bit know what he means, meaning, you know, he thinks like Atipas Arosh and Kviya Samita, you know, and not learning Torah, those kind of things are the Laban. Whereas Chalitzas Asandal and Chalitzas Tfilav, those are the mitzvahs Aseh. I'll explain that in just a second. Strange, right? No, no, he says, if the Ramban, oh, does he say that? I'm sorry, Merchat's not. Kofa Bitaso and Atif Sarosha. He said, if you don't have sandalim on, right, then you should do the others. Because that's also before some and what else. I misspoke in terms of, right, but the things that are lavin, those, because he thinks that's also mitzvah saseh. Sorry. But do you have a line? We talked about mitzvah saseh and Ramban also says if you're in the middle of taking So that's number one. You only need one expression, not multiple. Okay, that's strange. Now the question is which one? Go ahead. It has to be, you know, do it before some. Go ahead. Yeah. Meaning if he's taking a shower and then he hears the Shmua Rechoka, he has to stop. Or if he's in the middle of Limud HaTorah, he has to stop. But that's different. I mean, it's that Isser will be upon him, but that's not a way of expressing, right, or negating, you know, the Mikta Sayom Kekula, correct? And that's Nifsak and Shohanah. Keep going. Oh, that's a line where you have. These are kumba assays, and he calls them mitzvah assay. Keep going. Yeah, okay. So basically, the Ritva's reasoning, okay, well, we'll take one by one. So basically, the Ramban, Taurus Adam, I say, is you're going to get a little taste of it. See how amazing it is. What does mitzvah say? Mitzvah slozah say? So the Rav Zatzal used to speak a lot about the dine avelos, you know, issues being broken up into two types of things. That a lot of the things that appear to be like you're an avel, you're not allowed. Typically, ask people, you're an avel, so you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the next thing. Right? Practically, that's mostly true. You can't take a shower, you can't take a haircut, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The question is, those are isurim really, or this is what the Rav was trying to point out, or those are really kiyumim. They're kiyumim b'shev altasa maybe, but kiyumim. I mean, they're ways of demonstrating or manifesting your avelus. So the Rav was very big on the idea that mostly avelus is a kiyum belief. It's not an isurim. It's about the things that you do to trigger that kiyum. Some of them are active and some of them are passive. But mostly the idea is a kiyum belief. Again, Rashi and Ksuvas, we talked about also Mitzvah Pato and HaMitzvah and Tirdas Avel. Sounds like that's not true. Sounds like he doesn't accept that. Rashi says there are Isurei Avelos or Chiyubei Avelos. They have nothing to do with Tsar. Okay, the Rav thought differently. That's how he understood the Rambam, particularly the relationship between Anidus and Avelos. Famous view of the Rambam that Tumas Krovim, Yidei Kohen, is a Kiyum and Avelos, but only applies to somebody who is typically not allowed to be Mistame and Krovim. That's why it's only male Kohenim, not female Kohenos. Anyway, that was his idea. That was a general idea. However, in this Rabban, the Rabban speaks of an Essen and Lavin, or Essen and whatever, Isurin. And we also find this in the Sugya and Ksuvas, Kasan Avel, when the Rishonim are discussing, like, how do you balance, you know, the status of Simcha Sayachin and the mitzvah of Simcha with, you know, the prohibitions of Avelos. So the Ramban and the Ran, again, the Ramban, the Shitaso, they talk about, you know, maybe you should be mechalek between the Essen and the Lavin. Is it a clash with Essen or with Lavin, with Kiyumim or with Isurim or with both? So this is a very important Ramban in that respect, and it's a very interesting open question. Whether all Dine Avel are kind of Isurim, all of them are Kiyumim, or Yesh V'Yesh. Okay. The other point of the Ramban about Tefillin, of course, is fascinating. Where he says Tefillin is, Shmua, right, Rechoka is not Yom Rishon. So dinim that are particular to Yom Rishon, like Perecha Chavash Alecha, Tefillin will not apply. One could have thought, on the contrary, it is Yom Rishon. Right, that's part of it, because it's out of Shloshim Yom, they can't have Dina Yom Rishon. But I think for the Ramban, you know, it means more than that. It also means that the whole Shiva is not really applied. But with regard to Tefillin, at least he thinks that it's sufficient to say that there's no Din Yom Rishon. Again, it's fascinating that the Ramban didn't think it was Yom Rishon either, but he thinks it's Yom Achra. And I don't think the Ramban holds that way at all. Otherwise, it would extend to all of the Dinei Avelos. Okay. On the other hand, the Ritva's distinction between Chalitza's Tefillin and Minnah sounds like it's Damasha Begufo. Right? Not like the Ramban. So what's the difference? But I think the answer is, going back to the distinction that we keep reference to, that is, of course, Chalitza's Tefillin and Chalitza's Sandal look the same. From a physical point of view, you're wearing shoes, you're wearing tefillin. The question is, are you going to take them off? Right? But I think the idea is that tefillin, you know, is not begut, meaning, you know, tefillin is not that kind of a malbush. You know, there's a din of mitzvah of hanachas tefillin, and then maybe, especially Rabbi Chiya, we're assuming that he was also wearing them. But, you know, all the time you're wearing tefillin, you're wearing tefillin. And when you take them off, so you're not wearing them. You know, whereas sandal is an expected part of your dress and your orientation. And you are, when you remove that, right, it's not, you're not wearing shoes, you're taking off your shoes. You're going shoeless. You don't go, you're not going tefillinless. Well, that's the question. Meaning, the role and the expectation have a different function. I think that's what the Ritva has in mind. The bigger idea of the Ramban and the Ritva seems to be that Shmua Rechoka is a demonstrative thing. And for them, it's not Shiva, it's not even Yom Shvi Shal Shiva, unlike the Ramban. It's certainly not Yom Rishon, it's not even Yom Shvi. And therefore, what you need is a Kiyum. You need to express Avelos, the Kumbase, in a Kiyum way. And you do that Begufo, or you do it, you know, according to the Ramban, B'mitzvah Saseh, you know, not B'Yisurin. So I think this brings us to the final point, or the 2 points, I guess. I don't have time for both. Just one. The Rishonim, the Ritva here, and the Taurus Adam, I think actually not the Taurus. Not Tarsa. The Ritva here has another question. Eitan, as how come the Gemara says Shmamina, Shmamina, Shmamina? They could have gotten away with one with two Shmaminas. Right? Amalal Sabinila said, by the way, I still consider my answer to be sufficient. Just like, you know, the Ramban and Ritva, you know, each in their own way, is considering Nila Sandal to be, you know, particularly suited to Shmua Rechoka. I think that could have, you could have thought that it's, you know, relatively minor. You know, for example, we say if it's a tircha, you know, then, or if you have, you know, foot problems, you know, you don't have to do the sandal. Then you call the chiddush is that it applies. Same, you know, underscoring the difference, but in the opposite. Anyways, what bothered the Ritva? Shema mina shmo rechol kenu nami salim echad, shema mina mikta sayyam kikur. Why not just say, Shema Mina, Shmu Rechoka Sha'achas? Right? So what does he answer? Because they want to teach you the one reinforce, right? The Dinah Mikta Sayyam Kekulo and Shloshim in your base Kodesh too. And Shiva, or whatever. Shiva and Shloshim, right? Oh. So I'm not sure if this is what he means by it or not. But this is an interesting question. How do you understand the din of Mikzas HaYom Kekul? The truth is it accurate to say in Mikzas HaYom Kekul that all you need to do is Sha'achas? Is that what Mikzas HaYom Kekul or Eitan? Is that what it means? Conceptually. I mean, Lamaisa, if you say Mikta Sayyam Kekula, you're saying all you need to do is Sha'achas. Right? But does that really capture it? Is that what Mikta Sayyam Kekula is at the end of Shiva and at the end of Shloshim? Oh, exactly. I mean, maybe the idea of Mikta Yom Kekulo is not that all you have to do is a little bit, but that what you do in the Mikta Sayom counts for the Minyan, or the Rav used to say the Malos, anytime you have a count, so you know, you don't count it for the full amount necessarily, but you have to do something that it counts for the full amount. Like in that was one of the things I was suggesting about the Malos of 81 days for the Aledis, right? We were talking about Or. So Mikzas HaYom Kekulo really means that what you do in the beginning of the day, or what that little that you do, sets the tone, it covers the day. That's conceptually different than saying Sha'achas. There might be a difference in this respect also. Even if you said like Sha'achas, you know, or Mikzas HaYom Kekulo, with regard to the Shiva, the Shloshim, the Yud Beis Kodesh, the the Shmua Rechoka, is it really all the same din or not? And if there aren't Afkamina, is it because really some of them are Mikvas Hayom, Kikul, right? And others are Shach HaSuna, this is all you have to do, this is the Shiur. This is the Shiur, or the Shiur is Kol Hayom? But the tone, the Torah says Chag HaMatzos is Shivas Yomim. Right, but the chiyuv is only in the beginning. Right, one way to look at that is, it's shivas yamim, what you do in the beginning of the, you know, it's miktas hayom kikula or miktas hashiva kikula, the tone that you set, it lingers on. So the point is that Shmuel Rechoka, you know, the reason for the Ramban and Ritva that it's even one key, as long as it's demonstrable, because it's miktas hayom. You need a representational event. Okay, one other thing I want to speak about for a minute on Sunday about events, and that's just the question of Krovin, you know, being the makar for Namanos Avedus. And just for one more second, also, just one note, I'm going to say that now. The Ritva, I think, in Moed Katan also points out another chiddush of this Gemara, and that is that you can combine Shmuel Rechoka for two Avelios. Because he had a double Avelios. Okay, but I would just want to add, why is that a Shema Amina or is it? That's an interesting question to compare to Tokfal of Avelios when you have multiple Shmuel Krovas or Bismanas. But is that a special din in Shmuel Rechoka in any way? Right? And again, you couldn't be Mechalik in either direction. Because you need to, it's only Sha'achas or Mikta Sayom or Niu Gechad. Can you do that across to Avelim? Or maybe because it's more Avelus Agavra and less Avelus focused on, you know, the mace, like Yakra Dechai, Yakra, you know, the Shivchi in that sense. Is that one of the differences between, you know, the different stages of Avelus and a particular Shua Rechoka? As opposed to regular. So the idea of combining, is that different than a typical Avelos? Okay? So that's I'm not going to say anything more about that, just leave that open question. I'll speak about the Nemanis question for a minute. Then I want to speak about the Zrizin issue and the light of Yadalit. Again, also look at Shulchan Aruch, how they paskin. And then start talking about Maskir and so on.